Okay, today's daf is Shviyas daf Nun Dalet, as we continue here in Paraklal Gadol, and we talk about various halachas of Perish Shviyas, what has Kedusha, and what you're allowed to do with them, as we get into a couple of other aspects today. So just one halacha that I didn't get to mention yesterday, and that was what the Gemara Fulda mentioned relating to Kavish Kimavushal, where the Gemara had a question about whether one is allowed to be a kovesh, right? Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Avo, "Mao lichbosh min hahein verid," right? Would one be able to be kovesh? So again, what exactly is that? Is that question? So the Rav Chaim Kanievsky had said they used to take the rose and they used to soak it in oil in order to produce its aroma. And the question is, can you do this during Shemitah? Because the rose, which has Kedusha, as we said, gets ruined by soaking it. Or is that called normal usage? And we don't worry about the hefsid that's going to come. That was the question according to Chaim Kanievsky. Mara Fulda related this to the sugyan chulin kufiyot aleph of kavish kemevushal. Are you allowed to soak it? Because we know in halacha that for certain aspects, kavish, soaking, is like mevushal. If you soak it for 24 hours, it becomes cooked. It doesn't mean that on Shabbos, you're not allowed to soak something, right? That doesn't go that far. The Chachmas Adam notes this. The Chachmas Adam, Rabbi Avram Danzig, right? The Chai Adam and Arachai, and Chachmas Adam and Yaradeya. So he notes this in Simon in Klal Nun Ches. He says, Kiblu Chazal, the kavish hu kemevushal. Right, kavish, soaking, is like cooking. Right, and that was the question of our Gemara. Something that is normally eaten raw or used raw, and you cook it, so that might not be allowed for Shemitah produce. That's the question of our Gemara. And we had a machlokas about the halacha. But the Chachmas Adam says, Ratzalomar shemavli umafla kiilu bishlu yachad. You consider it as if it cooks. Aval eino ratzalomar sheyia lakol davar kimevushal. Don't think that kavish kimevushal means regarding every halacha, soaking in something for a certain amount of time, we pass in 24 hours, is like cooking it. Shahari le'inyin basar b'chalav, putter. Or mutter min ha-Torah. Dichsiv lo sevashel. Lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo. So what happens? If I put meat in a milk, and I leave it there for 24 hours, I've violated the isra basar b'chalav. I let it soak there, kavish kemevushal. So again, we're not talking about blia, but the isra bishal? No, that can't be. V'chein l'inyin Shabbos, v'adai pater, she'enu chayiv ela betoldas eish. Right, you only chayiv for toldas eish, as the Rambam says in Perek Tes of Hilcha Shabbos, v'chulu. So it means regarding certain halachos, kavish kemevushal. That's the Gemara, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Shulchan Aruch says, simin kuf hei in yoredeya, iser shenishra im heter. It's iser beheter. Meaning that's the classic case of kavish kemevushal. Me'es la'es. Bitsonein. Cold water. We're not talking about hot water. Hot water, there's a separate transfer of taste. But cold. Cold. The example I said before. You have milk and you put chicken or meat, let's say beef, in milk. And it sits there for 24 hours in the milk. Guess what? That milk now becomes treif. At least lamaisa, and the meat. Isr shenishrim heter meis laes bitzonein mikre kavush v'hari kumavushal v'neasar kulo. Aval pachos mikan ba'dachasagi. But if it's less than that, less than meis laes, less than 24 hours, so then it is not called kavish kimavushal. There is a major machlokas we've shown him. Rashi says that it only is kavish and chometz in something strong. That's when kavish kimavushal applies. We don't pasken that way. We pasken like the Rush and other Rishonim, even in water. Any type of liquid is considered kavish. That's one machlokas Rishonim. If you look in Rabbi Kiva Eger here, he says, also, it's only straight. It's only straight and in the same water. Meis lais betzonein ba'osan mayim. Avalam shafchan lahamayim toch meis lais v'shafach letocho mayim acherim av sheshar meis lais betzirif lo mikri kavish. Different water, not good enough. Break in the middle, not consecutive, not good enough. Then he quotes other example of Mild Staka, but that's the Rabbi Kiva Eger. The Pesachei Tshuva also discusses different aspects. He says, "Bechalav shenafal tok kadei shemen." Where's the line I wanted to find? The Pesachei Tshuva again talks about other. Okay, I'm not going to look for it now. Oh, here it is. The Dafka. there is a machlokes achronim whether kavash mevushal only applies by iser veheter, like our case. You have an iser l'dafa veheter. What about what we call hetera bala? Hetera bala. You have a plastic container. Let's assume that plastic is balea, and I put chicken soup into the plastic container. Cold. Cold chicken soup left over from Shabbos. I put it into the plastic container. And it sits there for 24 hours. Is the container now fleshik? Right? Do we say kavash mevushal by, you didn't do anything wrong. That's called hetera bala. When it was absorbed, it was mutter. There's isura bala. When it gets absorbed, it's asur, like basar b'chalav, or any other type of isur that's absorbed, or does it imply there are differences in halacha between hetera bala and isura bala? Chametz before Pesach is hetera bala. So that is also a machlokas. The Mishpat Zozav, the Prima Gadim, assumes that it does apply to hetera bala, that's basar or chalav, and the Chavos Das, the Nezivos, assumes that only by Yisura Bala. So, but this is an important halacha that's discussed here in Yaredeya Simin Kufhei. Right? The Shach discusses a lot of other details, but that's what's referred to here in the Gemara by the Mara Fulda. Okay, so let's continue now where we're up to. Three lines from the bottom. Tzipori Shalin, we just had different types of roses. Some you could soak, some you can't soak. Tzipori Shalin, the Rabbi Imi. The people from Tzipori, one of the towns up north, not too far from Tveria. Tzipori, and that was one of the places I think that the Sanhedrin went, one of the 10 stops that the Gemara mentions in Rosh Hashanah. I think it was one of the stops. There's Usha was there. It was there a couple of stops, and Shafram and Tveria again was the last one, the last stop. Tzipori Shalom to Rabbi Ami. Mahu Lahatan, I'm going to change the gear, so Mahu Lahatan Bechutin. What does that mean? Can you moisten? Are you allowed to moisten these items, these roses, we're going back to the thorns, right? Remember the Mishnah had said that any ma'acho behema also has kedusha shvius, right? The Rasiolio adds in the line from the Mishnah that this is commenting on. Soft thorns were included. Soft thorns, which are edible for animals, have kedusha shvius, because it's ma'acho behema. What happens, asked the Gemara, they used to have to moisten wheat in order to make it usable. But how do you moisten the wheat? You have to get something else. You don't just pour water on it. So you can moisten these thorns and then rub them on the wheat. So, but in the process, the thorns are ruined. So are you allowed to do that? Because it's for human consumption, right? You want to ultimately use the wheat to make bread, but the thorns themselves have kedusha shvius, and if you use them in this way, you're going to ruin them. So that's the question the Gemara is asking. Right? Tzipori shalom l'rabbi, ma'u lahatan, can you moisten these thorns, l'chutin, in order to use, or chitim, in order to use for your wheat. Amar lon, atun amrin b'shem Rabbi Chanina. So the Talmidim came and said, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, afilu ale kursaya shari. Ale kursaya, leaves of kursaya. Kursaya is something even more edible than thorns. So even Dali Kursaya, you're allowed to do this, meaning it's ultimately for a human need, human consumptions. Therefore, even though you're going to ruin them in the process, but it is still allowed because you look at the big picture. Look at the big picture. If you're using this for what you want to get benefit from, therefore it is allowed. And Amar Rabbi Yoshia said, I'm sorry, Boa Basra. Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Lu'uvda Usmoch Aloi. Right? Rabbi Yoshia says, it's not only in the base medrash, this was said. This is an important line. La ovda, it's lemaisa v'smocha loi and rely on it. I mean, sometimes somebody could give a psak in the base medrash, but it's like la halacha v'lo lemaisa, as the phrase goes. We could schmooze about it and talk about it, but don't do this lemaisa. La halacha v'lo lemaisa. It's nice schmoozing in the base medrash. But here, Rabbi Yoshia says, no, rely on this. Right, you're allowed to do it lemaisa. Right, which is a discussion. If you look in the Baba Basra Kuf Lamed has a discussion about a detail which is not our issue now, but the Gemara there discusses. So what is that lomaisa, that halacha, or not? The Gemara has a machlokas there. Is it a hora'a? Is it halacha adifa or maisa rav adifa? What does it mean, maisa rav? Maisa rav means it was actually said. Read the Rashbam. Kishemorin lasos maisa, oz yesh lismoch v'lasoso. When somebody gives an answer to a psak, to to a question, it gives a psak, that's really something that to rely on. But if you're just in the base medrash and you say, yeah, this is the halacha, ain somchin la'asos kein ad sha'amru halacha la'maisa. Right? You can't, because maybe he's just saying it for the base medrash purposes. Kidila kaman, di amar halacha, yigil amemar, di derech limudo amar hachi. Avalim ba maisa liyado, hayimadaktik yoser. If somebody gets a question, right, somebody asks a rabbi a psak, he knows he has to give an exact psak. In shir, in the base medrash, you can be much more flexible. You're just saying lamdus, and it's not as risky, so to speak. And that's what the Rashbam talks about there, when the that maiserav, when there's an actual story that takes place, so then that has much more authority. Again, I think I mentioned in the past that I heard b'shem an Eid Neman, that Rav Moshe sometimes gave more credence and more weight to the Arch HaShulchan than the Mishnah Brura, the two Poskei Achron. Why? Because the Arch HaShulchan was a Rav, not just Rosh Hashiva. And therefore, he was not just talking in the base bed. Obviously, the Chavetz Chaim was the Chavetz Chaim. But the Arch HaShulchan, in a certain sense, were dealing with these issues a la Perek in real life. And therefore, that has a certain level of authority more than just learning in the base medrash. And the Rashbam there talks about, you know, what happens when the Gemara sometimes says halacha kidvarav. The Mishnah in Yevamis. Halacha kidvarav. So you don't always pass on like halacha kidvarav. When there's a story, so that has a lot more weight. Why do we think sometimes there are stories quoted in the Gemara about halachas? Right, the first parak in Shas has two stories. Because actual stories teach us. Right, teach us halacha. Right, not just saying halacha, but actual stories. As we mentioned, the Gemara is not just a book, not just a book of laws, but it's a book of lives. But those lives teach us about the laws. Right, and that's what the godless of the uniqueness of Gemara. Gemara teaches us everything, but also through example. Right, that's the la halacha and la maisa. Again, in terms of can we paskin based on halacha kedvarav? What about the Mishnah? What about the Gemara? So maybe we'll leave that for now. We'll see towards, if we have time, we'll talk about the status of the Mishnah and the Gemara and just in terms of its authority. Again, that's the discussion there in Babasar Kuvlamet, and that's the line of Rabbi Yoshia right here. We continue. Amar Rabbi Yoshia, ein lecha miyuchad lebehema, ela chatzir bilvad. Right, what is the most common classic food, animal food, even though, yes, the Mishnah mentions thorns and other things, but the most classic animal food is grass. Chatzir bilvad. Right, chatzir bilvad, and Pnei Moshe here takes us to Barchi Nafshi, right, Tehillim Kuvdalid, Matzmiach Chatzir La Behema. Right, the Hashem causes grass to grow for a behema. If you read Barchi Nafshi is all about the beautiful world of nature, how everything in the world fits together, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives animals what they need, and he creates the oceans. Right, Gvul Samta Bal Ya'avorun, Bal Yeshuvan Lachasos Haaretz. Right, you get the impression by reading that pasuk like the oceans want to flood the world, and Hashem is holding them back. Right, there's a gvul. Gvul samta, bal yavor. And every time you're at the ocean and you see the waves coming in and you see the waves stop, to give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making that border. Gvul samta bal yavoran. Bal yeshuvan lechasos haaretz. It doesn't come and cover the earth. Next pasuk. Hamashaleach mayanim ban chalim. Right, but he does send some tributaries and some little rivers in for beauty, for the need of the animals and for water. Bein harim yahalechun. Right? Everything is makes up the whole world. Yashku chalchayza sada, yishbru faram tzamam, aleim, all the giving the water to the animals that need it. Aleim ofashamayim yishkon. And then we have mashke harim yali yoseb, mepri basecha despaha aretz, mansmiya chatzila behema. And he gives chatzir, the grass, to the behema, ve'esev la'avodas ha'adam. Lahotzi lechem in ha'aretz. Right, v'yayin yisamach, all the different aspects of animals and nature. Har magvarim la ye'elim, slom machse lashvanim. Right, we know a little bit what right, the pasuk puts together ye'elim and shvanim. So that's why it's a question about what a shafan is, but we know that because there are shvanim that dafka are near ye'elim in the Engedi area. So that's how part of the way that we know what a shafan is. Okay. But that's the pasuk here. So Rav Yoshia says that there's nothing that is more miyuchad for animal fodder than grass. Vishelacho lahatin. Again, the word that means to moisten. Oshalacho lahatin bo mutar lahatin bo. And even that, you can moisten the grass in order to, again, moisten the grain. As we said before, there's another pshat in the Gemara that it's also to moisten your hands. You get your hands wet, you also use it. V'tani kein chatzir v'kol shar yirakol shel lakchan lahatan bahen, mutar lahatan bahen. Right, all this grass and any other vegetables, anything that you use, that you bought in order to use for moistening purposes is mutar. Right, even chatzir, which is the ultimate in animal food, and it's more edible than the thorns. Chishev alehen le'echol behema. We searched the Girsa too. But the second that you decided that you're going to use this to give to your animals, that's a higher purpose. And if that's a higher purpose, asr lahatin bohen. Then you can't use it for moisture in order to get your wheat wet. So again, if it's but if you right when you took it, you got it for the moistening, that's fine. But you can't go down in purpose. Tani bar kapara mutter lahatin bohen. Rev bar kapara says it's you're allowed to. Moistening is a human need. Again, so it's allowed. It's raising its usage even in the case where you thought about it for behema first. So if you thought about it for behema, you could still, Bar Kapara says, you could use it because that's not considered ruining it. So he seems to argue on the previous line. Again, now we change the girsa. Va'asur, next halacha. There's a continuation of the brisa. Va'asur, lesochtan mehen. To squeeze. So you're allowed to squeeze out to get some type of grass juice. There was some moisture in the grass. So, says the Brisa, you're not allowed to squeeze it out. Why? Because it's not called a normal usage. That's not so common as much as the moistening. Lama, sheish alein, kedusha shvius, right? There's, because there is a kedusha shvius to the grass, and therefore this is considered a ruining of the grass. Says the Gemara. But one second. Va'ochle behema, ein aleim kedusha shvius. But what do you mean? Ochle behema, animal food, it has kedusha shvius, dat amar osimehen malugma la'adam, and you're allowed to make, as we saw yesterday, you're allowed to use ochle behema in order to make malugma, this type of plaster for medicinal purposes. So what's the difference between squeezing them and using them for this? Don't they both get ruined? Both get ruined as you squeeze them to get the liquid out, and to use them for malugma, for a plaster for a medicine. So both of them, does it have kedusha shvius? They both should be usher. Why do you say squeezing out is usher while using them for plaster is mutter? So answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Shaminan sheosimhen malugma la'adam. Yes, we know that you're allowed to make the malugma. Vishaminan, this rhetorical, shemutter lesochtan, you could squeeze them, alasimhen samamanim la'adam, could you use them to make some type of spices? The way the Gra explains this is spices, the samamanim, which you wanted to use to squeezing them purposes, is worse than malugma. Malugma, you use the item, and then you add a couple of other ingredients. So you don't actually ruin it before the usage. While malugma, you just put it in. But for some amanim, you need to first destroy it. You need to first crush it. And then you're going to use it, so that crushing is more of the problem. So the question is, are you using it and then just making it basically inedible versus crushing it and destroying it? So that's the difference between the two. You know, sometimes even if you don't do something actively, you just let it be, so then that might make it a little better. You're not doing actively with your hands. Rav Asher Weiss has in his Sefer on Shvius, in the Minchas Asher, in the newest one, Simin Samach Aleph. The case was, there was a pardasan, somebody that has orchards. Somebody has many orchards, and he was Minadev, got boxes and boxes of fruit to give to to Avrechim, to give out to needy families, to Kolel families. He had huge boxes. And after he brought all the boxes to the neighborhood, hits barer that all of them were gross inside and disgusting. Sha'af sha'pri yafe mibachutz, rubam mitula'im mibifnim. They were all wormy inside. All these boxes of fruit. Umilvan mashenim ruim kokach la'achilam achbas ha'toloi. Not only were they not roi because of the worms, yesh b'em achshash michshol b'isr shratzim. Maybe there's some worms actually in there. Umuvan she'en lohem kol bikush. Nobody wants them. V'har gazim omdim b'merpeses beso. All these big boxes are sitting on the merpeset of his house. V'im lo yifaneu sam la'ashpa el yamten ad she'yarkivu. If, like what we usually do, we wait till they get totally rotted and then throw it out. If you wait, yiyachayav v'chaye beso bilti nisbalim. Machmas hareach v'hacharakim. It's disgusting. It's smelly. Your wife, there's a lack of shalom bias here. Right? You just want to get rid of them. but they're not totally rotted yet. So what are you allowed to do? V'nafsho b'sheilato, im mutter lo lehotzi peiroseilo l'makom isuf ha'ashpa. Could you put this by the garbage dump? Could you put this by the dumpster outside? That was his question. Is that called ruining peir shvius? Do you have to wait and have it on your porch the whole time until it really gets ruined? And then, so, nire lahakel bazeh mikama ta'amim, I think you can be makel based on a number of reasons. A number of reasons. Number one, nire lachora de peiros elo nechshavim kenem ruim lamachel. They're already not roy. What, you want to wait till they get ruined? They are ruined. They are ruined. V'avshe etzem aprilo nirkav ela royhu, and even if you look at it in a vacuum. Oh, there's a little piece of the fruit that's still good. There's a little piece that's still good. No. Mikamakom kivat shapeiros mitulaim ve'ein derech b'nei adam bizmanenu lech operos ke'ela. People don't eat this kind of stuff. It's garbage. Havi le ki'ilu peiros elu klal einem ru'im lamachol v'shuvei nisr lafsidam. Right, we have a similar idea by Bal Tashchis. If you have leftovers on your plate, right, and maybe during the time of 100 years ago, what are you throwing out? I can't believe. But if it's disgusting to the average person today, nobody will eat it. There's no Bal Tashchis, the poskim say. So here too, it's not roy lamachol. V'yafsheru yim peiros elu lamachol behema. And even if you want to say, oh, the animal would eat it. No, kfar kasav achazonish, to bemakam de lo shrichi behemos, where animals aren't so around. Ve'ein peiros omdim lo behema, paka kudusha shvius, kishenifsal me ochel adam. And therefore, number one, it's already ruined. Number two, nire iker dootzaz peiros la ashpa, eino hefsid biadayim. De'eino mafsid as a peiros be'etzem. Ve'ein ze ela, gram hefsid. What were we just talking about? You put it into the malugma versus you crush it up and destroy it before and squeeze it. So it's worse when you actively destroy. So to here, you're not actively destroying it. You're putting it next to the garbage dump. You're putting it next to the dumpster. And therefore, that's gram hefsid peiros shvius. It's grama. And therefore, I don't think that's a problem in this case either. Number three, kiva de b'shvius bezvan azed de rabbanan, yesh lahakel b'makam safek. The Sveka Drabana Lakulu over Pratpashasat Chagodol Kibinidon Didan. And therefore, I think it's Mutter to put it out. They'll throw it out. Aye, so then you might say, Lifne Iver. Let's say the workers are Jewish, right? Whoever throws them out. Nira de einkan ela suffig rachok. There's a very far chash. Number one, maybe the workers will be Arab. Derova ovdim hela hem aravim lo yudim. Vasavi derban lohaka. Uve prala delanias daiti samchinim baze arov. And even if it's a Jew, you have the nesivis. What nesivis? Nesivis reish lamadalid. You don't need tshuva from an iser derabanan bishogeg. Right, a big sukya, major sukya. But here, this is nitra of shvius b'zman azed d'rabanan. So an nitra d'rabanan b'shogeg. So you don't even have to stop him from doing it. So there's no lifnei iver there. V'odim elu v'adei shogegin hein. Deimim yodim klal. Lo me'isr hefsid v'lo me'shev v'yir seo shvius. They don't even know the halacha. They don't know this is shvius. They don't know. So therefore, and even though it's a chiddush, but you can rely on it in this way. And therefore, shasat chagadol in this case, shash lebriut hamishpacha kula, v'yavshal shcheinim. It is okay. So that's similar to this idea here, this yesod that we learned, that there's a difference between actual hefsid of perishvias versus gram hefsid. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, Tamantaninan, we learned in a Mishnah in Meseches Uksin. Now we're getting back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, one of the examples of items that have Kedusha and has beer are the leaves of the luf. The leaves of the luf, right? That was back in the aleh haluf hashota, right? That was one of the ones in the category one. It has kedusha, it has beer. So aleh haluf hashota has kedusha. So the Mishnah says in uksin lul veizradim vishel adal, right? That's the gersa that we have in our Mishnah. V'aleh luf hashota. That's not important for us. All of these items einim etamin tumas ochlan ad sheyumtaku. Says the Mishnah there in uksin. Include on the list are these leaves of the Lufashote, which our Mishnah says has Kedusha Shvius. There, it says that it doesn't become Tumas Ochlin, meaning it's not called a food in order to be Mekabel Tum until it gets sweet. meaning right when it grows, it is inedible. You have to sweeten it. You sweeten it. So once it gets sweetened, so then it has tumas ochlin. Lama shehein marin. Because they're very bitter. And until you sweeten it, it is not edible. And therefore, our Mishnah says there's Kedusha Shvias. So, as we're going to see, so the Kedusha Shvias starts when? When are these items, when did these Alei Lufashot have Kedusha Shvias? It says in the Uksin that Tumas Ochlin only starts when they sweeten. Here, in our case, it sounds like there's no mention of the Mishnah. Should we read our Mishnah in light of the Mishnah in Uksin, and therefore Kedusha Shvias only starts after we sweeten them? The Gemara is going to talk about it. Let's see. Says the Gemara, wait, first, V'turmisin lav einan marin. What about turmisin? Turmisin are a type of legume, and also, aren't they very bitter? They're also very bitter. And, right, the Mara Fulda quotes from the Gemara that you have to cook them 7 times until they're ro'i l'achila. Right, and they're tumas ochlin right away. They're tumas ochlin right away. So what's the difference between turmesin and the alin lufashotes? The Gemara says no. Shan yehi turmesin shi karan ochel adam. Right, no, turmesin are meant for food for people. What does that mean? Look at Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Turmesin ontem heim la'achila. People eat turmesin, and therefore, even though in their raw state they're not edible, but because they're normally used for human consumption. So you could say they have tumas ochlin right away, just like, what about wheat? You can't chew on a stalk of wheat, generally. It's kind of like inedible, but wheat is matami ochlin right away, because it's food. Food for people. Masha mechzar bishol einu mavat lumitaris ochel. Shari achitim kayotzi bohem. She'en derech ochlin chai nami matami tumas ochlin. But when it comes to these leaves, the lulve zradim, she'en derech matami tumas ochlin. People never eat it unless you think about it, so those aren't going to be tumas ochlin until they are sweetened. So that's the difference between the two. Says the Gemara, now, lo tzurcha dila shaminan, shen kedusha shvias chalal emachim yumtaku. So that's what it must be, says the Gemara. The chiddush of putting the two Mishnahs together is, when our Mishnah says this kedusha shvias, it only means once the alin, once these leaves are sweetened and they become edible, that's when they have kedusha shvias, but not beforehand. Says the Gemara, lo kain, right? You might, let me just, implicit question here, but that's not in the Mishnah. Isn't that a major factor that's not mentioned in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah just says, the leaves have kedusha shvias. So what are we saying? Only after you sweeten it. So the Gemara says, there's another case in the Mishnah that you're also missing a big factor. So don't worry about it. Right? It's also missing. Lo kein amar Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina. Ulshin. Right? Aren't Ulshin in the Mishnah? Ulshin are in the Mishnah. You see the top of the Mara Folda? Mishum deniro leksas dochik. It appears a little dochik. Lahamida Mishnah la'achar shem tikan. Right? That's a little dochik. So now, Rabbi Yosef Rachanit is going to bring me another example. Right? Let's see. V'itmar ulshin chashuv esein latamitu basochlin b'shvias. Ulshin, these wild endives are matamitu basochlin during Shemitah. Why do we say that? Remember we had this a couple days ago? Because regular ulshin aren't around during Shemitah. Right, there's svichin, you can't eat them. So people eat these wild endives, which are not as edible, but they eat them during Shemitah. So that's tumas ochlin during Shemitah. V'itmar, and we learned, taimahada amra achlo hita Rebbe lav yarek mechutz laaretz laaretz. This is only when, before Rebbe allowed you to bring vegetables from chutz laaretz, as we discussed a few days ago. Avo mishihita Rebbe lav yarek mechutz laaretz laaretz, but once Rebbe allowed that, he shvias yishar shnei shavua. Then there's no difference. Meaning if you could bring the regular endives from Chutz La'aretz, then the wild endives, which are more bitter, they don't have any difference in halacha between Shemitah and not Shemitah. They still are not metame tumas ochlin. The kol lo yiyu chashuvos ad shechashev aleihen. But, so therefore, when it says in our Mishnah that ulshin, these wild endives, have kedusha shvias, that must be when? Meaning Rebbe already, you know, brought the other vegetables in. It must be only if you thought about them to eat. Once you think about them to eat, they're normally not edible. But once you think about them to eat, so then it's going to have kedusha shvias. So that detail is not in the Mishnah either. So says the Mara Folda, explaining the Gemara, just like the Mishnah is missing a major detail by the Aleluf, which is you have to sweeten it for it to become kedusha shvias, so too, how do you know that that's okay to have that missing factor? Because the other line also has a missing factor. The ulshin also has a missing factor that it's only after you thought about it to eat. Because if you didn't think about it to eat, and we live in a time period that Rebbe allows the imports, so therefore it wouldn't have kedushas shvias. Fine. So now the Gemara says, wait a minute. So you're telling me something, when it grows, it does not have Kedusha Shvius. And only later on when you do something to it, it could get Kedusha Shvius? Is that possible? Could something get Kedusha Shvius later? Umatzinu davar bitchila. Switch the girsa. Ein Kedusha Shvius chal alav. Could you have anything that at the beginning Kedusha Shvius is not chal on it? Ubasof Kedusha Shvius chal alav. Is that possible? So the Gemara says, what's the problem? Hativan, I'll ask you a question. I'll prove it to you. Yeah, it's possible. Harei hasiya ve'ezov, these types of herbs. She'liktan le'itzim, if you gathered them for fuel, ein kedusha shvius chal aleihem, then kedusha shvius is not chal on them. We know that from later on, daf samach, chishev aleihem le'ochlin, but once you decide that you're going to eat them, use them for in your food, kedusha shvius chal aleihem. So there can be kedusha shvius. So you see, when you picked it, you wanted to use it for wood, for firewood. No kedusha shvius. You think in your mind, I'm going to use it for spicing my soup. Kedusha shvius. So you see, kedusha shvius could come, you know, out of the blue in the middle. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, no. There's a big difference. Shkenem litan mitchilo laochlin kedusha shvius chal aleihem miyad. No, by those items, they could have had kedusha right away. If you would have picked the sia and the azov with shame eating right away, then it gets kedusha shvius right away. So if you could get kedusha shvius right away, then we could say it could also get kedusha shvius later on. What are we talking about here? Something that can't have kedusha shvius right away. It's inedible. And we're saying, before you sweet it, it does not have any kedusha, and then it could get kedusha. So that is a huge chiddush. So that's the end of the Gemara. So there are those that say, so you have to say that no. It gets Kedusha. Don't read our Mishnah in light of the Mishnah in Uksin. And our Mishnah says that Kedusha Shvius right away. You're right. It might not have Tumas Ochlin until after you sweeten it, but it would have Kedusha Shvius right away, unlike Tumas Ochlin. Don't compare the Mishnah in Shvius and the Mishnah in Uksin. Okay, just one more line. Hasiya, once we're talking about these three items, what are they? Hasiya, Tzatzra, Ezov, Ezova, Koranes, Karnisa. Not that helped us as much, but just the identification of these items. Vachal bitzin, mentioned in our Mishnah, maya chal bitzin, beitzei, neitz, chalav, again, trying to identify these various items. Period. Okay, we'll have to stop. Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Hashem, we'll pick up with that conversation from the Mishnah next time.